Welcome back, listeners, to our podcast series, diving into the intriguing world of Cloisterham and its enigmatic inhabitants. In our previous episode, we wandered through the ancient cathedral grounds with the eccentric stonemason, Mr. Durdles, and his sharp-witted young sidekick deputy, uncovering hints of the town's shadowy underbelly amid the crumbling tombs and midnight wanderings. Now, as the story progresses, we turn our attention to a brighter corner of Cloisterham, Minor Canon Corner, where the gentle and energetic Minor Canon, Mr. Septimus Crisparkle, lives with his devoted mother. Here, acts of kindness and charity take center stage, introducing us to new arrivals who bring fresh energy and potential tensions to this quiet cathedral town. Let's settle in and continue the tale. Chapter 6, Philanthropy in Minor Canon Corner. The morning light shines brightly on Minor Canon Corner, a peaceful spot tucked away in Cloisterham. The air is fresh, and the early sun touches the old walls with a golden glow. This is where the Reverend Septimus Crisparkle starts his day with energy and purpose. He is a man full of life, fair-skinned, rosy-cheeked, and always ready for action. Every morning, without fail, he rises early, no matter the season. In summer, he swims in the nearby river. In winter, he runs or boxes to keep fit. He believes in starting the day strong, both in body and spirit. Mr. Crisparkle lives in a cozy house with his elderly mother, a kind and lively woman who keeps everything in order. She is small but full of spirit, with bright eyes and a quick step. People in town call her the China Shepherdess because she looks like one of those delicate porcelain figures, neat, colorful, and always cheerful. She manages the household with care, making sure her son has everything he needs. Breakfast is always ready on time. Fresh rolls, eggs, and tea served just right. She fusses over him like a mother hen, reminding him to eat well and stay warm. But Mrs. Crisparkle is more than just a homemaker. She has a big heart for helping others. She calls her work philanthropy, which means doing good for people in need. Every day she visits the poor and sick in Cloisterham, bringing them food, clothes, or medicine. She keeps a little notebook where she writes down who needs what: a warm blanket for one family, soup for another. She believes in practical help, not just words. Actions speak louder than sermons, she often says. Her son admires her for this, though he sometimes worries she does too much. One morning, as Mr. Crisparkle finishes his exercise and sits down to breakfast, his mother chats about her latest plans. She tells him about a widow who needs coal for the winter and a child who should go to school. Mr. Crisparkle listens with a smile, nodding as he eats. He is proud of her, but gently reminds her not to overdo it. "Mother, you must save some energy for yourself," he says. She laughs it off, saying helping others keeps her young. Their quiet routine is about to change. A letter arrives from the dean of the cathedral, announcing the arrival of two young orphans from far away, Ceylon, a distant island. They are brother and sister, Neville and Helena Landless. Their guardian, a kind man named Mr. Honeythunder, has arranged for them to come to Cloisterham for education and a fresh start. Mr. Honeythunder is a famous philanthropist, known for his loud speeches about doing good. He runs big charities in London, but some people think he loves the spotlight more than the actual helping. Mr. Crisparkle has agreed to tutor the boy, Neville, to prepare him for university. The girl, Helena, will stay at the Nun's House, the school for young ladies run by Miss Twinkleton. The siblings are due to arrive soon, and Mrs. Crisparkle is excited. She sees this as another chance to do good. "We'll make them feel at home," she says. Her son agrees, eager to meet his new pupil. The day comes, and the coach from London pulls into Cloisterham. Out step Neville and Helena Landless. They look striking, dark-skinned from the tropical sun, with strong features and a wild, untamed air. Neville is a young man of about 20, tall and handsome, but with a restless energy that makes him seem uneasy. He has a quick temper and a proud spirit, shaped by a hard life in Ceylon, where he faced mistreatment from his stepfather. Helena is his twin sister, equally striking, with long dark hair and fierce eyes. She is brave and loyal, almost like a protector to her brother. They have grown up together in a rough world, learning to rely on each other. Mr. Crisparkle greets them warmly at the coach stop. "Welcome to Cloisterham," he says, shaking their hands. Neville bows politely, but seems guarded, as if he's not sure what to expect. Helena smiles faintly, her eyes scanning everything around her. They are tired from the long journey, but grateful for the kind welcome. As they walk to Minor Canon Corner, Mr. Claude Crisparkle points out the old cathedral and the quiet streets. He tells them about the town's history, trying to make them feel comfortable. Neville listens quietly, but Helena asks sharp questions, showing her quick mind. When they arrive at the house, Mrs. Crisparkle greets them like old friends. She has prepared tea and cakes, fussing over them as if they were her own children. "You must be starving after that trip," she says, piling their plates high. Over tea, the siblings share a bit about their past. They are orphans, sent to England by their guardian after their stepfather's death. Life in Ceylon was tough. Hot jungles, wild animals, and unkind people. Neville admits he has a hot temper and sometimes acts without thinking. "I've had to fight my way through," he says. Helena nods, adding that she has learned to be strong too. Mrs. Crisparkle listens with sympathy, her eyes soft. "You're safe here now," she assures them. Mr. Morlock, Crisparkle sees potential in Neville, a bright mind that needs guidance. But there are hints of trouble. Neville mentions he doesn't get along with everyone, especially those who look down on him because of his background. Helena warns her brother to stay calm in this new place. Mr. Crisparkle senses the young man's inner struggle and vows to help him control it through study and exercise. "We'll box together in the mornings," he suggests. Neville agrees, eager for a fresh start. As the afternoon goes on, Helena prepares to go to the nun's house. She and her brother share a quiet moment, promising to look out for each other. Helena seems almost mystical in her intensity, as if she has a hidden strength. Mrs. Crisparkle walks her to the school, chatting all the way. Neville stays behind with Mr. Crisparkle, who shows him his new room, simple but comfortable, with books and a view of the cathedral. By evening, the house feels fuller. Mrs. Crisparkle bustles about, planning more acts of kindness. She thinks about how she can help the landless siblings settle in. Mr. Crisparkle reflects on the day, feeling hopeful. But in the back of his mind, he wonders about the challenges ahead. The twins bring a touch of the exotic and the unpredictable to quiet Cloisterham. The sun sets over Minor Canon Corner, casting long shadows. The cathedral bells ring softly, marking the end of another day. In this corner of the town, philanthropy thrives. Small acts of goodness that might change lives. But as new people enter the story, who knows what ripples they will create? And that wraps up this chapter of our tale, listeners. To recap, we centered on the warm and active life in Minor Canon Corner, home to the Reverend Septimus Crisparkle and his charitable mother. Mr. Crisparkle is a fit, optimistic minor canon who starts his days with vigorous exercise and helps lead the cathedral choir. His mother embodies practical philanthropy, tirelessly aiding the needy in Cloisterham with food, supplies, and support. The chapter brings in the orphan twins, Neville and Helena Landless, arriving from Ceylon under the care of their guardian, the boastful philanthropist Mr. Honeythunder. Neville, with his impulsive temper and proud nature, will study under Mr. Crisparkle, while the fierce and protective Helena heads to Miss Twinkleton's school. Their backgrounds of hardship and resilience add layers to the story, setting up potential conflicts in the close-knit town, especially with characters like the confident Edwin Drood and the brooding John Jasper we've met earlier. This introduction of the landless siblings deepens the mystery, hinting at cultural clashes, hidden passions, and the contrast between Cloisterham's sleepy traditions and the wider world's influences. Stay tuned for the next episode, where confidences are shared and tensions begin to simmer. Thanks for listening.